Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's just stay standing and pray together for a moment. Father, we thank you for the revelation of your word, which is truth. And we thank you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. And we pray that your Holy Spirit will take your word and declare it afresh to us. So even though, Lord, we may be talking of familiar things, we will come to a fresh appreciation of those things, a fresh revelation of those truths, and encounter you in a fresh way through your word and by your Spirit, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Going to read a few verses from Romans chapter 5 in the Truth Version. So if you haven't got the Truth Version, just listen. If you have, you can follow it. We come then to this wonderful conclusion. We have been brought back into right relationship with God and made totally acceptable to Him through our faith in Jesus Christ. Through Him, we now have peace with God, and all the blessings of His grace are made available to us by means of our faith. We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us, and we can rejoice that a greater revelation of His glory awaits us. This is our sure and certain hope. Now, I think it was 3 weeks ago that I was talking to you about our hope. And you remember that we use this sort of visual illustration of God being in heaven, encouraging us on the way, the narrow way that we walk with Jesus, and the way that He is drawing us to the fulfillment of His will and purpose for us. And we saw that the position of the lectern here represents where we are now. That's where we've been in the past, not just in our past lives before we were Christians, but even in our past history as Christians. We stand here now. And in that scripture that we've just read, Paul says we stand in His grace. Now, we're going to see what that means, but to really understand that, there's two other words that we need to understand alongside grace, and those words are love and mercy. Those three words belong together. They are very closely connected in our Christian lives because they're very closely connected in the New Testament. Love, mercy, and grace. Now, let's just talk for a moment about this walk. This walk is on the narrow way with Jesus. And those of you who are here may remember that there's all kinds of temptations to get off of that way, to go down ways of our own, and those are all cul-de-sacs that have absolutely no outlet. All you can do, they go nowhere. They just lead to a brick wall. That the only thing you can do when you get off course is to turn round and come back on course, which is what repentance is. So repentance is turning around, isn't it? You were going one way and you turn around and you go the opposite way. So every time we get off course, God wants to bring us back on course. Now, if we're going to understand God's love, mercy, and grace, we first of all, have to ask ourselves the question, why are we taking this walk with Jesus? What's the purpose? Are we doing it for our sakes or for His sake? Now, when a question is put like that, you probably know, well, the correct answer is for his sake. But actually, emotionally, we probably think, well, I'm taking it for my sake, because there's all kinds of things I need God to do in me and for me. Well, of course, because we are living in his saving grace, we are taking this walk for our sakes in the sense that we benefit greatly from taking this walk with Jesus. But we need to have the right balance, don't we? Because, you see, if we're taking it for our sakes and not his sake, we will very easily get off the narrow way. And actually, we will not find the fulfillment on this way with Jesus that he wants us to have. If, on the other hand, we realize, well, God has saved me, he's called me, he's chosen me, he's set me apart for his purpose. So I'm on this way, walking with Jesus, not because I'm wanting him to meet my need, but because I'm wanting to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for me, so that I will bear much fruit now. And when it comes to that time of judgment, as we were thinking about 3 weeks ago, we will not only have salvation, but we'll have a very great reward. Jesus says each man will be rewarded then according to what he has done, because we have lived to fulfill his purpose. Now, what we actually find in experience is this. If I'm walking on this way for myself, I'm going to be constantly frustrated that the expectations I have of God are not fulfilled. But if I'm walking on this way for his purposes, I find that all my needs are met. That if I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else is added to me. Why? Because I've got the right focus. I'm living for him and not for myself. If I'm living for him, then I'm giving myself to him day by day. I'm yielding myself to him for his will, for his plan, for his purpose to be outworked in my life, in which case he then gives to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Why? Because he says, the measure that you give is the measure that you get back. The mistake that many of us make is we're so preoccupied on our walk with ourselves and our needs that they become the focus of our prayer. They actually become the focus of our walk. And then we wonder why things aren't working out in the way that we think they should, and probably God wants them to work out. It's all a question of having our right motivation and therefore our right priorities. Okay, now, this is where we can talk about the love, the mercy, and the grace. Because God is love. Love isn't something God does. Love is what he is, or love is who he is. He is love. But he's not emotional love or sexual love, obviously. He is this agape love, this love that is expressed in giving. This love that has the good of the recipient at its heart. In other words, God doesn't love simply because he wants to love, but he loves because he cares so much for the recipients of his love. Now, if we just put that very simply, it means that God loves us in such a way that he wants to give to us. I thought there might have been a few believers here that would say amen to that. But so he expresses this love in giving. Now, John, when he begins his gospel, he starts in the first chapter with all these wonderful truths about who Jesus is, the Word through whom God created, the light that is coming into the darkness of the world, and so on. And then right in the middle of all these wonderful revelations of who he is, he says this, that from his fullness we received grace upon grace. In other words, he's saying, those of us that knew him when he walked here on the flesh, our experience was that we just kept receiving from him. It was grace upon grace, one act of his giving after another. But why was that? Why did they experience such grace? Because they were walking with Jesus as disciples. And so his grace was not only sufficient for him, for them, his grace was abundant. He was giving and giving and giving and giving into their lives. Why? Because they were walking with him as faithful disciples. Now, grace is what is given to those who deserve nothing. So it wasn't that their walk with him was earning grace or making them in a position of deserving grace. No, they were intent on following Jesus, on obeying Jesus, on seeing the outworking of the will of Jesus in their lives. And so God's grace abounded to them. Hello? Now, that grace didn't start with the meeting of need. It didn't start with needing to be healed, for example. We don't even know if they got sick while they were Jesus. Probably not, but even if they had, you know, it wasn't simply that God was giving them grace to meet need, but God was giving them grace for the walk. God was giving to them everything they needed to be the faithful, loving disciples he was calling them to be. So their heart motivation was not to love Jesus for what they could get out of him, but they loved Jesus because they loved Jesus. If you love someone, if you truly love someone, you don't love them for what they will give to you or what they would do for you. You love them because you love them. You can't even explain why you love them. You just love them. And God doesn't have to explain to us why or how he loves us, because he is love. He holds us in that love. Are we there? Now, this is where the word mercy comes in. Because we know that the first way in which we experience God's love is when we first came to the Lord, we experienced his mercy, the complete forgiveness of his sins, of our sins, and what we just read there, God making us totally acceptable in his sight. We can only be on this narrow way with the Lord. The broad way, you remember, leads to destruction. So we're not on that one. Nobody's on that one. Is that right? Okay, we're all on the narrow one, yes? We're all on the narrow way which leads to life, which leads to glory, which leads to heaven. So we're on this way with Jesus because of his mercy. Wherever we were before we became Christians, we were certainly on the broad path that led to destruction. And God rescued us from that, yes? He rescued from a life of sin, whatever your particular kind of sin may have been in your old life, but he rescued you from a life of living for yourself. He rescued you from a life where your needs were the focus of your life. And he showed you that he had a purpose that is much greater than any purpose you could invent for yourself. And it's a purpose that is actually eternal. It outlasts your existence on this earth. So he gives you eternal life, not to get you to heaven, but he gives you eternal life because that is God's life. You know, his love is eternal life, his eternal life is love. You can't separate the two. He gives you that love, he gives you that life to enable you to walk on this way with him, to fulfill his will for you in your life now as one of his faithful disciples. And you see, what he says is, as you do that, as you walk with him, as you're one with him, so his grace will abound in your life. And you will find that he gives and gives and gives, one blessing after another. That he enables that walk, especially when you feel weak and useless and worthless, and you know, you feel so inadequate. Sometimes you even feel that you've really failed the Lord, in which case, his mercy. Remember Psalm 23? His mercy follows you all the days of your life. His mercies are new every morning. So mercy isn't just there for when you first became a believer. Mercy is with you every day. You know, you've got these twin sisters on either side of you, mercy and grace, and they just walk with you. You are in the love of God, and his mercy and his grace are with you. When you need the mercy, he forgives you. He restores you. He cleanses you. He does whatever he needs. When it's grace you need, he provides for you for the walk in his way to enable the outworking of his will. Now, he does not say that, he does not promise to give grace for the outworking of your will. Hello. But the grace is there for the outworking of his will. So when we walk in our own ways, what's happening? Well, we are no longer walking in the anointing that God has given us. You remember Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, he said that also of himself. He said, without my Father, I can do nothing. I can do nothing of myself. And so he didn't begin his ministry for 30 years because he had to wait for the timing of his Father's anointing upon him. Once the anointing of the Holy Spirit had come upon him for his ministry, then he could begin that ministry. He was first of all taken off for 40 days fasting, prayer, where he was tempted by the devil. And what was the devil trying to do? The devil was trying to get him to use the anointing for his own sake rather than for the purpose for which God had anointed him. So, you know, if you're the Son of God, you've got the power to turn these stones into bread, so why don't you use your miraculous powers for yourself? And Jesus said, no. God hasn't anointed me for myself. God's anointed me to fulfill his purpose. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, you could say that in this book, you have God's will for your life. In the New Testament, you've only got to open the Gospels, open the epistles, and there you, wherever you're reading some aspect of God's purpose for your life, which is why it's so important for us to be feeding on his word every day, isn't it? To be men and women of the word. So we're walking on this way with Jesus, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us, enabling us to see the fulfillment of his word in our lives. All His grace is available for us to keep us walking in faithfulness, in love, and in obedience. All His mercy is available for us whenever we mess up, whenever we fail, whenever we need to be restored, so that we don't have to stagger along in our own strength, but all the time His mercy restores us and His grace supplies for us. You know, it's like if you're walking in this love, it's like mercy, grace, mercy, grace, mercy, grace, every day. His mercy in you every morning, His grace always there, always sufficient for you, no matter what situation you're in. Now, our life of prayer keeps that flow of mercy and keeps that flow of grace going in our lives. Because you see, along this way, as we're walking in loving obedience to Jesus, we are meeting with people. People in various ways come into our personal orbit. And what God wants, of course, is for us to express His love for them, whoever they may be, even for our enemies, He says. So that love has got to pour out of us. Now, how will that happen? Well, it won't happen effectively if we're not depending on His mercy and His grace. Are you there? So what happens is, you see, we're walking with His mercy and His grace, and the love pours out. Why does the love pour out? Because God expresses His love towards us in mercy and in grace. He doesn't simply say, "I love you, now get on with it." You see, all the time He's wanting to give mercy, to give grace. To give mercy, to give grace. To give mercy, to give grace. And as we receive from Him, so much more we have to give to others. We become, if you like, bearers of Jesus. But you see, this is the crucial thing. Are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. This is the crucial, you're just so quiet. So, this is the crucial thing, that if love is flowing out of us because we're living in the mercy and the grace, what is going to flow out of us is mercy. First of all, mercy towards anybody else. No matter who they are, no matter what they've done, no matter how much they've hurt us, no matter how often they've hurt us, we will always respond to every situation with mercy, never with judgment, never with condemnation, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. Hello? You know, over the years, various people have prayed for me. Some very famous people. But the most powerful encounter I ever had with God when somebody prayed for me was in a prison in Argentina. It was a prison where, amazing thing, there were 1,500 born-again prisoners. Half the prison population was born again. And they had whole floors, which they called evangelical floors. And there were no prison warders there. Some of the pastors, some of the prisoners, were sort of made pastors for those whole floors. And one of those pastors prayed for me. I have never been impacted with the power of God when anybody prayed for me like that man. He said to me, "They will never let me out of this place because I murdered two policemen and seriously wounded another." They won't even bring me to trial. Because they haven't got enough evidence. But they know I did it, and I've confessed that I did it. And I've asked the families to forgive me. And there you see the mercy of God. You can't imagine much worse than that, can you? And you know how the legal system works. If you kill anybody, it's bad. But if you kill a policeman, you really are for it. But this man, he was now pastor to, I don't know, probably about 150 prisoners. He'd only come to the Lord in the prison. Revival was happening in the prison. He'd come to the Lord about 2 years previously. But you see, if anybody was a trophy of God's mercy and of God's grace, and it wasn't simply that he'd become a believer, but there was just a small group of us. Normally, visitors weren't allowed onto the floors where these prisoners actually were, but they allowed us. There were a group of about seven of us who were pastors. And their parting words to us, please leave your business cards because we'll continue to pray for you every day. They were just dividing. On each floor, they had a sort of a dining area. They turned that into their chapel. And they just spent the day studying the word, praying for people, interceding. Because in prison, not much else you can do, is there? But how powerful. See? But this is the mercy of God. And you think to yourself, okay, if God can be merciful to someone like that, what does that say to the way I need to be merciful? Hello? Not to speak or think or have the attitude or pray even with judgment. You know, you can pray against your enemies or you can pray for your enemies. Which does Jesus tell us to do? The Word of God says we're to pray for our enemies. We're to seek to do them good, not to judge them and condemn them. And, you know, one of the things I think God hates in Christians is self-righteousness, because it's like filthy rags to him, isn't it? And we can be so self-righteous, you know, well, we would never do that. We were there, boom, 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 boom. But there's all kinds of things that you do that others would never do, including being self-righteous, and proud, and condemning, and judging. As I explained to you, I think every time you judge someone else for a sin in their lives, you have sinned seven times. So your sin is seven times worse than the sin that you have just judged. So if you judge that man for killing a policeman, right, your sin would be seven times worse than killing the policeman. He'd sinned once in doing that. You'd sinned seven times in judging him. Hello? Yeah. You failed to love him, failed to be merciful, and so on. There's a whole list. There's no time for me to go into the whole list now. But you see, if God is so merciful to us, what does that say? We are to be merciful to others. And praise God, there is no end of his mercy. You'll never reach the point where God will say to you, I've forgiven you enough. I'm just cheesed off with you. Why don't you go and do something else with your life? No, there's always mercy, you see. Even for the prodigal son who wasted all his inheritance, there was mercy, always mercy, always mercy. And Jesus taught the disciples, you know, if your brother sins against you seven times in a single day and he asks you to forgive him, you are to forgive him. You know, how many times are we to forgive, Lord? Seven times? No, 70 times seven. Innumerable number. You just keep forgiving. You keep forgiving. You keep forgiving. You keep being merciful. You keep... But what happens if they do it again? You forgive again. Just like God has forgiven you again and again for the very self-same things that you have done. So we're living constantly in that mercy so we can be merciful. Now, you see, this impacts the meeting of your needs. Because Jesus says, if you're not merciful, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. That's pretty serious. Because it means you are out of true relationship with God if you're in a state of unforgiveness. Here you are seeking to walk on the narrow way with Jesus and you're in a state of unforgiveness. Well, actually, you're not on the narrow way. You've gone down a cul-de-sac called judgment. And God says, okay, the only way out of that cul-de-sac is to turn around, come back, confess the sin of your judgment and condemnation of others, come back into my mercy, because now you're merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. See how it all works? So, there's no use us sort of walking along here thinking, oh, yeah, well, we're walking with Jesus, we're having a great time, and Lord, meet my need. If actually we're not there, we're down this cul-de-sac. And Jesus says, well, look, I'm waiting for you. Just come back. Just come back. Amen? And this is why, you see, he says, well, look, if your brother sins, if your sister sins, don't judge him. Seek to restore him. If you see somebody else has gone down as a cul-de-sac, don't judge them. Don't say, oh, Lord, look what they're doing. He says, well, pray for them. Come on, pray for them to come back. But don't get into a self-righteous, judgmental attitude. Are you breathing? Okay. So, you know this stuff, don't you? Blessed are those who do it. Hello? Okay, so this mercy is abounding so that whatever happens, whoever you have to encounter, it will always be with mercy. Because what you have is a merciful heart. And boy, sometimes that's put to the test, isn't it? If you'd had as much rejection and persecution and stuff that I've had, you would learn that the only way to get through it is to be merciful. That's the only way. If not, I think I'd be a nervous wreck by now. You just have to keep being merciful, keep being merciful. People say all kinds of things sometimes, lies and untrue things, and you say, okay. And the Lord said to me, Colin, I know the truth, you know the truth, that's all that matters. Just forgive them. Just forgive them. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to justify yourself. You know the truth. Just forgive them. So that's the only thing to do, isn't it? And you see, when you forgive, you don't get hurt. When do you get hurt by what other things do, by what other people do? When you don't forgive them. You get offended. And offense is just self-righteousness in an angry mood. Hello? People leave churches in offense, in self-righteousness and anger. Why? Because they haven't been merciful. Hello? Even if they were hurt in some way, but of course they were, because the other people in the church are people who are not yet living in perfection. And it's easy, really, isn't it? This business, really, of walking in mercy. Because you only have to stop and think, well, how often has God needed to be merciful to me? How often have I needed other people to be merciful to me? How dare I even think of withholding my mercy from them? It's very simple, isn't it? Very easy. Okay, so we see that just as God expresses his love to us in mercy, so as we're walking on this way with him, we're expressing that love that he has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit through mercy. And his grace will abound to keep me walking in that way. That means he will supply everything I need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Because that's my inheritance, that's your inheritance, it's all there, it's all available for us. Yes? It's just that, you know, sometimes it gets a bit tiring, doesn't it? Because you go through a period where you have to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And then you come through that, praise God, hallelujah. And you know, you walk in one of those blissful, glorious times where it seems God is pouring so much into your heart and life. And then something else happens and it's forgive, forgive, forgive. Well, life's just like that, because we're having to live the life of the kingdom in the darkness, the spiritual darkness of the world. You see, there's not much mercy out there. There's certainly not much grace. You know, people think you've got to deserve this. And mercy we don't never deserve, grace we never deserve. It's all initiated by God's love. So, God loves me. That's a truth, that's a fact. God loves you. You might not always believe it, you might not always feel it, you might not always think it, but he does. And nothing in the whole of creation, according to my Bible, can ever separate you from that love. So either you believe it or you don't. Either you walk in it or you don't. Now, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Yes? Just as, you know, I love the Father and obey his commands. So, you love the Lord, yes? So you obey his commands. What are his commands? Be merciful. Well, that's one. It's a good start, isn't it? Love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He was merciful. He was gracious. So we will always be merciful. We will always be gracious. Isn't that right? Now, just imagine the impact, you see, of unbelievers coming into the midst of a people that are always merciful and always gracious. They don't feel judged. They don't feel condemned. Because you can never reach anybody that you judge. See? You can only reach those who you love. That's why Jesus, when he came to be the Savior of the world, said, I have not come to judge, I've come to save. You either judge a person or you save a person. You either forgive them or you withhold forgiveness. You see? Can you understand this? It's very simple, really, isn't it? Hello? It's not a complicated message. I said right at the beginning, you would know all this stuff. But you see, it's not what we know that matters. It's whether we're living what we know, yes? It's what we're doing with what we know. So we have all these needs that crop up along the way. I'm just going to read a few more verses immediately after those verses that I read before. You remember, those verses ended with, such hope does not end in disappointment because God has already filled our hearts with his love through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to live within us. You understand, this is what we haven't read so far, you understand that at God's appointed time, Christ died for all the ungodly. He did this while we were still powerless to please him because of all our sins. It is a rare event for anyone to die for another, even for someone who seems a good person living a righteous kind of life. How great the love that God has demonstrated in sending his Son to die for us while we were still sinners and unacceptable to him. That's great, isn't it? That shows the nature of God's love for us even before we knew him. Yes? Now, we can be sure of our acceptance because of the power of that sinless blood that Christ shed for us. We should be equally confident then that the process of salvation will continue in the future. That at the judgment that is to come, we will be saved from God's anger because of Jesus' great love for us. In other words, Paul is saying, God's going to keep us walking in this way. So when it comes to the judgment, we won't need to fear God's anger because we've been walking at one with him. So we used to be God's enemies, but now we have been reconciled to him through the death of his own son. Now, if we just go back, because I missed out a couple of verses. And I want us just to focus it. Here we can see how God's love is so great for us. He wants to bring us faithfully to the end, so that at the judgment we get a great reward, not God's wrath or anger, because we're saved by his grace. But these are the verses we missed out. At the same time, we can also rejoice in whatever cost or even suffering that is involved in being faithful to the Lord. Ooh! Now, wait a minute. It's all been love, mercy, grace, wonderful, as we're living as disciples. So now Paul says, there may be cost along this way. There may even be suffering on this way. And that cost and that suffering comes from being faithful to the Lord. Not compromising. That's another cul-de-sac. There's one called judgment. There's another one called compromise. Hello? But there's no compromise here. Yes, there's no judgment on the narrow way. There's no... nothing that is going to undermine our faithfulness to God. So, affliction. Now, why does God allow these things to happen to us? Well, but just listen to this. Affliction teaches us perseverance. And perseverance builds character. And it is part of our character to be people of hope. In other words, we've got our eyes on the destination and we say, okay, Lord, I might have to go through some valley of affliction. There may be some suffering. There may be rejection. There may be persecution. There may be all kinds of negative things that happen to me. But that's okay. That's only going to teach me perseverance. And it's actually going to build my character. Why? Because I'm going to need to forgive. I'm going to need to be merciful. I'm going to need to be gracious. Just as you are so merciful and so loving and so gracious to me. Are we all breathing?
Yes.
So, such hope, this hope that this perseverance builds in us, such hope does not end in disappointment, because God has already filled our hearts with his love through his Holy Spirit, whom he has given to live within us. So even though sometimes, it seems as negative things happening, God says, that's okay, I'm going to use those to teach you perseverance in my ways, so you don't go down a cul-de-sac of judgment. You don't go down a cul-de-sac of compromise. You don't give up, but you remain faithful to the end. Amen. And because you remain faithful to the end, there's the Father, as we saw 3 weeks ago. He's encouraging us, come on, come on. When he sees us going down, he goes, no. Come on, back. That's right. Back with Jesus, right? He doesn't judge us and condemn us. He withholds all the judgment that we deserve because he's the God of all mercy. And he's the God of all grace. So he's just saying, hey, listen, you remember how it worked we saw last time? That the Holy Spirit who lives in you never does anything independently of the Father and the Son. He speaks only what he hears. So there's the Father, and the Son communicating with the Holy Spirit in you just when you're thinking about judging someone. I mean, you wouldn't do it, but you might think about it. And you just got one step off and the Holy Spirit saying, no. Just keep walking on this way with me. Oh, yeah, there might be affliction, there might be difficulties. Yes, sometimes there might be physical suffering, right? But keep persevering, because as you seek first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, everything else will be added to you. Isn't it great? And you see, we've been talking, haven't we, in these last weeks, what God has been doing in our lives during the 40 days of prayer and fasting that we had, about the reformation that he's going to bring. What is reformation about? Reformation is actually about God bringing his church back to the way. Jesus is the way, isn't it? The church, it's not for us to judge any other church. We've just got to be sure that we in this church are doing what God wants, right? But it's clear, isn't it, that some churches have gone down all kinds of cul-de-sac. I think the plural is cul-de-sac, but it doesn't sound very, doesn't trip off the tongue very well. But they go down these things, right? And God, there's all kinds of churches, not just individual Christians, but churches that are not really walking on the way with Jesus. And he's calling those churches back, saying, hey, come on, you're my body. This is where you're to be walking. In my love, in my mercy, in my grace. Right? And you see, the secret to all this, my friends, is simply keeping your eyes on Jesus. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you keep your eyes on the one who is merciful, and you would not dare to judge anyone. See, you keep your eyes on the one who is righteous, and you wouldn't dream of being self-righteous, but you would remain humble before him. You keep your eyes on Jesus, and you keep your eyes on the one who wants to constantly feed his grace into your life. So you think, well, it'd be rubbish for me to try to walk with him in my own strength and do things in my own way. Isn't this right? I mean, God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, as we've just heard in the scripture. Poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit because he loves us, and he wants that love, his love, to be expressed through us. And he knows that as we walk on that way with him, that love is pouring out of our hearts like a river of living water flowing out of our innermost being. But he knows as soon as we get off that way, the love stops flowing out. The love stops flowing out, yeah? Hello? So he says, now come on, come back here. And it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter what they do, you will overcome. See? And this is the point. Love overcomes. Right? Mercy overcomes all sin, all judgment, all failure, all disobedience, it's all overcome. God overcomes it in us by being merciful to us, and we overcome it in others by being merciful to them. Right? Grace enables us to overcome. And his grace is always sufficient for us. So it doesn't matter what happens to us along this way, what affliction, what suffering, what cost, in being a faithful disciple, we overcome. So, all we can do every day of our lives is say, thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your mercy today. Thank you for your grace today. Your mercy that restores me, your grace that enables me every day to walk in that way that you set before me. What a God. What a God. I mean, when you look at it, he's the one that works it all out in us. And then at the end, he says, I've got a very great reward for you. It's called the crown of life because you were faithful to the end. You persevere through all the affliction, all the suffering, persevered through everything that came against you. Hallelujah. when you got down a cul-de-sac, you didn't get stuck there. You came back. Hallelujah. You touched my mercy and my grace again. And, you know, he's the one that's worked it all out in us. And then he gives us the reward. Why? Because he says, well, you let me work it out in you. It isn't even that we earn the reward. Really, the reward is a work of his grace. Amen? But Jesus says you will be rewarded for what you've done. Meaning what? Well, by letting you do it in me, Lord. By letting you express your love, lead me through your mercy, and by your grace. Amen? So here's the love of God in your heart, and you're walking every day. Mercy, grace, mercy, grace, mercy, grace, mercy, grace. Persevering, always, to the end. Anybody say amen?
Amen?
Let's all stand, shall we? Oh, what a God. I mean, that's all you can say, isn't it? What a God. He knows our weakness. He knows our faults. He knows our failures. He knows our struggles. Oh, even every thought. I mean, just imagine he knows every thought. And yet still he's so merciful and gracious. Come on, let's just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, you know it's a struggle sometimes. You know it's a struggle for us to be merciful sometimes because of the stuff that other people do. But thank you, Lord, you're always merciful to us. That every time we turn to you and ask for your forgiveness, you never withhold it from us so long as we're prepared to be merciful ourselves. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you for even your grace to be merciful. And I just pray right now for every one of us in this room, anybody who ever listens to the recording of this message, I pray right now, Lord, for your mercy to be expressed in their lives, that everybody will know there's absolutely no one that they're holding anything against. No offense, no judgment, no condemnation. And nobody's praying against anyone, but only praying for them. Thank you, Jesus. That blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank you that every work of your healing is a work of your mercy. Thank you that as we seek the welfare of others out of love for them, so you in your amazing love measure back to us what we've sown in others. And you measure it back with multiplication, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So thank you that as we're merciful to others, so you just lavish your mercy upon us. As we're gracious to others, you lavish your grace upon us. Thank you that we're able to live in that grace day by day. Now, why don't you pray that just as you'll be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful, so also you will be gracious as he is gracious, seeking to give, seeking the welfare of others, seeking to bless, seeking to encourage and build up. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I believe that one of the things that God is wanting to do today is there's some of us here, and there's no judgment upon you for that. It's just you're down a bit of a cul-de-sac now because your focus has got off your purpose for being on this way and onto some need in your life. And that means that, you know, your prayer has become focused around need rather than being focused around the will of God. And he just wants to get things back. He's so lovingly patient, isn't he? He just wants to get everything back in order now. He's saying, come on, just get your priorities right. Seek first my kingdom. Seek first my will. I know all about your need. Yes, I want to meet your need, but I want your focus to be right first. I don't meet need down cul-de-sacs. I meet need on the narrow way. Hallelujah. So we thank you, Jesus. Perhaps some are aware of an area of compromise. It may not be judgment, but compromise or some other thing that has been drawing you away from the will and the purpose of God. Well, this is the time to come back. Don't delay, don't delay. Because you remain stuck down the cul-de-sac while you delay, you see. So, right now, right at this moment, say thank you, Lord, for your patience. Thank you for your word into my heart this morning. Thank you that you bring me back now to your way. Thank you that you're merciful. You forgive me for getting off on some tack of my own. You forgive me for getting my focus on myself and my situation instead of on your will. Thank you, Lord, that you rule and overrule in my life. Thank you that you want to reign in me for your praise and glory. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, just before we finish, we want to ask you to so move in this whole body, in this whole church, that your mercy, your grace, and your love will pour out of our lives corporately as well as personally, so that we will be able to bring light into the spiritual darkness that is around us, because we know there's no light when we're judging and being unmerciful. There's no light when we're being selfish and not gracious. There's no light when we're focusing on ourselves rather on the love of others. So, Lord, we want to be light for the world. We want to be salt for Horsham, for the 25-mile radius, for the nation and beyond. We want to be light, like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Because so much of your love, so much of your mercy and grace are just pouring out of our lives, that we share in that together, and all those who come amongst us are blessed as a result. And also that we are able to reach so many others that are in darkness at this time. So we bless your wonderful name. Come and let's really thank the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Let's just say this together. I am a child of God's love. I'm a child of His mercy. I'm a child of His grace. And His love, His mercy, and His grace will abound in my life. In the power of His Spirit. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.